Open your Bible tonight to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3.
Well, you shouldn't do that while the preaching's going on.
She'll think of it next time, and if we can keep her from doing that and Stephanie from going to sleep tonight, we'll be in good shape. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I shall ask that you begin to read with me in verse 16. Stand, if you will, as we read the epistle of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Peter says, and also in all his epistles, he's talking about the Apostle Paul, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are. That are unlearned and unstable rest or wrestle, as they do also their the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And I want you to look at the final verse there, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, help me tonight as we bring this message, which is really a continuation of the message we started at Watch Night Service. And Lord, help us to learn how to grow in grace. Help us to learn how to walk and live in the Spirit. Help us, Father, that we might not be satisfied with where we were in 2009, but in 2010 to determine to grow spiritually, to grow to the place where we know how to walk in the Spirit according to the Word of God and for the glory of God. Now, I need your help tonight. Thank you for this time tonight when at the conclusion of the service we'll observe the Lord's Supper together and remember our wonderful Savior who loved us and gave Himself for us. And after He died on that cruel cross, 3 days and three nights He arose from the grave. In Jesus' name, we thank You. Amen. And by the way, you may be seated. By the way, if you were one of those that brought me a little copy out of your commentary that's disagreeing with the 3 days and three nights Jesus said in the Bible, don't waste your time. Okay? Save your paper, save the expense of copying it, because you're not going to sway me back to a part of a day, okay? You're just not going to do it, and I thought I'd just throw that out and save you and me a lot of time and me from having to read it and get upset and then have to repent and get right about it, okay? So, there. I want to speak tonight on the subject of growing in grace and walking in the Spirit. Growing in grace and walking in the Spirit. Last week at our Watch Night service, I gave you three desires I have for Trinity Baptist Church in the last year as your pastor. Those three desires were simply this. Number one, to see Trinity Baptist Church to grow from a good church into a spiritual church. Now, in order that for that to happen, individuals have got to step up and learn how to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. It's not just something that we do when we gather together. It's a way of life. It's a drawing closer to Him. And God expects us to be spiritual, not carnal, and not babes. And by the way, in God's sight, you're either spiritual or carnal, or babes. That's the only three positions for Christians listed in the Bible. Babies in Christ, carnal, or spiritual. Now, I believe Trinity Baptist Church is a good church. But I don't believe God is satisfied with His people just being good Christians. He wants us to be spiritual Christians. He wants us to learn how to walk with Him in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. And then my second desire was to see our members to become excited about being a Christian and a member of Trinity Baptist Church. I am confident that the majority of our church family take our church for granted. I mean, you don't know what's going on out there in the name of church. We had a family, three people, last Sunday night, visited three other churches trying to find a church that even had church on Sunday night before they stopped by here. They said, finally, we just looked for a Baptist church with the lights on. I want to see our people excited about being a Christian first and being a member of Trinity Baptist Church. Yeah. We act like it's some kind of sickness or plague to be a member here. We ought to be excited about it. We ought to rejoice about it. Our church has a good testimony. We don't have a testimony of worldliness and carnality. And that scares the average Baptist to death. We ought to be excited about being a Christian and a member of Trinity Baptist Church. Thirdly, I said it's my desire to see our members grow in grace and grow stronger in the Lord, His Word, and in our relationship with our church family. To grow in grace. Now tonight I want to take two of those desires and bring this lesson to help us realize those desires and see them come to reality in our life. Number one, how does a Christian grow in grace and become stronger in our love for the Lord, His Word, and our Christian relationships? How do we do it? Well, Paul tells us here that we are to grow in grace. I can't tell you how much time every year is taken up counseling people that are deceived by some false doctrine, some heresy, some Mormon, some Jehovah's Witness, some Catholic, some charismatic. If we knew the Word of God, we wouldn't be confused about those things. We need to grow in grace and knowledge of the Word of God. You say, well, I'm satisfied where I am. Oh, Paul said, I've not apprehended. He said, I've not reached my potential. I have a desire to know Him. I want to know more about Him. And I cannot believe that you're different than I am. I need to grow in grace. And you need, that's not the time to say amen. I need to grow in grace. He said, amen. Agreeing with the preacher. I love you, Mikey. He's my buddy. Oh, goodness. How do we grow in grace? I think if every one of us would be honest, every one of us would have to say, I need to grow up spiritually. We preached about that Sunday morning. Grow up. How do we grow up? How do we grow in grace? Well, I'm going to give you some things that are so simple and that we overlook them. We take them for granted. Number one, If you're going to grow in grace, you're going to have to be faithful to attend Sunday school, AM church, PM church, and Wednesday church. And if you can't do them all because of work, you do as many as you're not working. You're not going to grow in grace. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to be in a Sunday school class where the Bible is taught. You need to be under the preaching of the gospel. You need to be faced with an invitation. You need to be in a place where the Holy Spirit can convict you of sin. We need to be in a place where the Holy Spirit can woo our hearts and draw us into His will. And you're not going to get that in bed at home, on the couch at home, in the recliner at home, on the lake fishing, in a deer stand, squirrel hunting, or a thousand other places. You're going to get it as God's child in God's house. And if you don't come, you're not going to grow stronger. You're going to go backwards. There's people that get saved, and 6 months later they come three times and they walk the aisle doubting whether they got saved. That wouldn't happen if you was here under the preaching of the Word of God. You'd be able to say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able. Secondly, not only be faithful to attend Sunday school and church, but commit to and spend time daily in God's Word. I'm talking about growing in grace. This is so simple. So simple. But evidently, it's been overlooked because some of you aren't doing it. And some of you aren't growing. Commit to a time and spend time daily in God's Word. For years, unless something's been taking place at the church or I've been out of town, Friday evening, Mrs. Smith and I take a time together. We've set aside that time. We never have trouble getting up and getting to church on Sunday morning on time because we set aside Sunday school and church for the Lord. We don't struggle with coming back. Well, Mrs. Smith does maybe, but I don't on Sunday night. Because we've set aside that time and committed it to Him. This past year, Mrs. Smith has set aside a time each day where she spends in the Word of God. Every day. And if I don't see her, I know where she's at. And I go into the dining room and she's sitting in a certain chair where there's light and she's reading. Now, why does she do that? Because she set aside a time for that purpose. It's not something you're going to do only if you think of it, because the devil's going to see to it you're not going to think of it. You've got to set aside a time. And, you know, my little old mama, I grew up watching her every day read three or four chapters out of the Bible every day. My mama was nearly blind. She eventually went blind. She got so blind that her Bible would be up like this. Mrs. Smith and I bought her a large print Bible, and she read it a while, then it started to be like this. Then we bought her the Bible on cassette tape and a tape recorder so she'd always be able to have the Bible. And I went down and there she was with her Bible up like this. And I fussed at her. I said, Mama, we bought you that Bible on cassette and a cassette recorder. And you're here straining. And she said, Son, don't fuss at me. As long as I can actually hold the Bible and read it, I want to read it for myself. Now that's a treasure that I'll never get over. She's left me that. I wish you'd leave your children something. Amen. Set aside a time. And surprise, surprise, if you read three or four chapters every day out of the Bible, the end of the year, you'll be completely through it. Completely through it. So, commit to spend time daily in God's Word. I'm talking about how do you grow in grace? You say, but man, I'm coming every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Great. And that'll help you, but if that's all you do, you're never going to grow to spiritual maturity. Because there's got to be a commitment on your own to spend time in the Bible. There's got to be that personal commitment. Personal commitment to spend time in the Bible. You'll get to just a certain level and then you'll stay there or begin to go backwards. If you're not going up, you're going backwards. So, spend time reading. After you've read, go back and study word meanings. I'm talking about growing in grace. Have a Bible concordance, a Bible dictionary, and study word meanings. What does that word, when the Bible says, let your communication be, what is it talking about, communication? Well, some people said that's just your speech. But you go back and study the Word of God and it's talking about your way of life. Your walk. Not just your speech, your total way of life. And so, study the meaning of words. Study proper names. What does Jesus mean? What does Lord mean? What does Jehovah mean? What does Jerusalem mean? Study proper names. Study places. Study the doctrine that you just read about. And when you come on to a Bible principle, a Bible principle is not just a doctrine, it is a truth to live by. To govern our thinking and our decision making and our action. Jot it down. We're talking about growing in grace. If we're going to grow in grace, then we've got to learn to do these things. Make notes of the character traits of those about whom you've read, both good and bad. What are the good character traits of David? What are the bad character traits of David? How about Samuel? What are his good character traits? Does he have bad character traits? How about the Apostle Paul? Learn, study. I'm talking about growing. Find ways to put into practice Bible principles and good character traits you've studied about. You see, just knowing about them is one thing. If we're going to grow in grace, we not only need to know, we need to learn how to put them in practice in our life. Because when we take what we've read and what we know and make it a part of our walk, then we have grown in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next of all, be willing to lay aside and put away sin, any sin, other things in your life that your race and testimony may not be hindered. Now there's two things in our life that we have a problem with. Sometimes it's sin. Things that God says is sin. You do have a problem with it, don't you? You're not better than I. But let me tell you, there's some things that are not sin in themselves that can hinder us in our walk with God. And that's what Paul meant when he said, lay aside every sin and the weight that doth so easily beset you, and let us run with race, with patience, the race that is set before us. I'm talking about growing in grace. Be willing to lay aside. Someone asked me tonight, said, do I have to live perfectly without sin for God to bless me or love me? I said, anything that God has for us does not require sinless perfection. Nothing. Now, we ought not be glad of it and say, man, I'm glad I can sin here and here and here. What then? Shall you continue in sin that grace might abound? God forbid. Once you know it's sin, you ought to be willing to let it aside. But you're going to stumble. You're going to falter. No one's going to ever live without sinning in this life. I've often said the only way you're going to live above sin in this life is to rent an apartment above a honky-tonk. Then you're living above sin. I'm talking about growing in grace. But when you do sin, be willing to confess it. Like Brother Todd preached about Sunday night. Confess it. Name it. Agree with God that it's sin. You want it forgiven? You want to be cleansed from its effect? Confess it. And then, growing in grace. We talked about spending time reading, studying, spend time praying. Find ways then to minister to others. If we're going to grow in grace, we just can't take in. We've got to give out. Every person in here is either a Sea of Galilee Christian or a Dead Sea Christian. The Sea of Galilee takes in the fresh melted snow waters coming off of the mountains through the streams, and it feeds, the Sea of Galilee feeds the river. Jordan River. And the Sea of Galilee keeps taking in and giving out. And the water is sweet. It abounds in fish. It provides livelihood for people. It's a beautiful place. Things grow around it. And then that Sea of Galilee feeds the Jordan River, and it goes down and runs into the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea has no outlet. It just takes in, takes in, takes in, and never gives out. There is no life in the Dead Sea. You'll not even see a little bug running around on the water. You'll not see a little tadpole swimming around the edges. It is 7 times more salty than the ocean. Nothing can live in it. No fish lives in it. It's dead. Some of you are like that. You take in and take out and take in and never give out. And your life is unfruitful, unproductive. And you're miserable. There's others here like the Sea of Galilee. You take in here and give out here. You take in and learn and grow, and you teach and help over here. And you're blessed. Life has a meaning. You're growing in grace. Find ways to minister to others. Others must be our theme and not self if we're going to grow in grace. No one can expect to grow in grace or grow stronger in the Lord and skip these steps. Not to put them into practice is like knocking a home run and skipping the bases. The run don't count. And what you're doing don't really count if you're not using it to minister to others. Point number 2. How does a Christian live a Spirit-filled life and walk in the Spirit daily? The words to walk and live have to do with our way and actions in our daily life. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul said, "And this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse number 25, same chapter, says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." God would have us to live a spiritual life, and you can't live a spiritual life without walking in the Spirit. A total and daily yielding of our life to God and His will are required if we're going to walk and live in the Holy Spirit. You cannot walk in the Holy Spirit if He does not deal You don't allow him to deal with sin that's in your life. You say, preacher, man, I don't have much. Well, you got some, and how much arsenic do you have to put in a glass of milk for it to be poisonous? How much sin do you have to hang on to in your life to cripple your life and hinder you from living in a spirit-filled life? When Galatians chapter 5, Paul said this, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you made your own all of those named sins, but I don't think, for the most part, they're not the major problems in the people here tonight. I think we must not forget the such like sins. And such like. You think if God doesn't name it, you're okay. But he said, and such like. Like, that sin includes those that are not named there, those you're dealing with. You say, what sin? The one you're thinking about. And such like. The Holy Spirit, you say, well, I don't know what they are. The Holy Spirit will gladly point them out if you'll let him. Just read some in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit will say, hey, that's such like sin. That's what I'm talking about. Then, next of all, God wants us to ask him to fill us with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to ask him. You have not because you ask not. He wants us to ask him. You say, well, when I got saved, I got all of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but he didn't get all of you. And being filled with the Holy Spirit is yielding total control over to him. It's that crawling on that altar Brother Laster preached about Sunday night. Daily, where the whole sacrifice is consumed. Daily. He wants us to ask him. He said, how do you get that? Jesus said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Perhaps you're a better Christian than I am. It's the wrong place again, son. But I need to ask him, not just daily, but several times a day, to fill me with his Spirit. God wants us to ask him. Next, strive daily and in every area of life and in every decision of life to act according to Bible principle. You can't walk a Spirit-filled life and neglect Bible principle. You can't make decisions contrary to the Bible teachings of God's Word and live a Spirit-filled life. If you're going to live a Spirit-filled life, you've got to walk in agreement with the Word of God. Strive daily in every area. You say, preacher, I blew it. That means I can't do it. No, it means you've got to try again. Try again and try again and try again. If it takes 70 times before you get victory, keep on trying again. Next, have a time of daily examination and confession of your sins. have a time in your prayer time daily of self-examination and confession of your sins. And let me give you a warning here. Limit your confession and examination to yourself and not others. It is so easy in our old depraved nature to get on our knees and start talking about sin and saying, I like sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. You're not going to make yourself better by putting somebody else down. Limit your confession to an examination to your life and your sin and not others. Next, if we're to live and walk in the Spirit, then we must walk daily to maintain or work daily to maintain a right spirit within us. Because of our sinful nature, a right spirit does not come naturally. We are born with a negative spirit and a kickative gender. Man, we find it easy to criticize. We find it easy to find fault. We find it easier to complain than rejoice. And if you're going to have a right spirit, you're going to have to work at it. And it's hard work. When David got right with God, he prayed, "Lord, renew a right spirit within me. Then will I teach transgressors their way, and sinners shall be converted to you." You're not going to have a whole lot of effect on winning people if you don't have a good spirit, a right spirit. And then lastly, talking about living a Spirit-filled life and walking in the Spirit daily. Keep the need of lost souls constantly before you. One cannot live and walk in the Spirit without witnessing and caring about the lost souls of mankind. The last time Jesus gave the Great Commission, He said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of Me." Living a Spirit-filled life and witnessing go together. Go together. Don't ever grow to the place like the man I sat by on a plane one time that went to a Bible church in Arlington. He's telling me what a good Christian he was, and how much of the Bible he knew. I said, "Sir, do you ever witness to win anybody to Christ?" He said, "Oh, I've outgrown that junk." How do you outgrow souls, loving souls for whom Christ died? I said, "Sir, you haven't outgrown it. You've backslid from it." Keep souls in the forefront of your mind. The power of the Holy Spirit is not to make you a super Christian or better than others. The power of the Holy Spirit makes it possible for you to live for God in this wicked world and present a testimony of godliness and be effective and faithful in your witness to a lost world for Jesus Christ. My desires for this church this year is threefold. Number one, to see us to grow from a good church to a spiritual church. Have a membership where the majority of our people have learned how to walk in the Spirit and live that Spirit-controlled life. My desire is to see our church get excited about being a Christian. I've never lost the wonder of it. And I've never lost the excitement about being a member of Trinity Baptist Church. I know where it is. I know who we are, what we stand for. And I preach in enough churches across the country and deal with enough people that I know that they're not all like Trinity Baptist. Let me tell you just a point that most of you don't even realize. In looking at attendance in a fundamental independent Baptist church, comparing churches across America, we're in the top 4%. You don't get excited about that? You don't get excited about a soul-winning program, a bus ministry, our missions program? You don't get excited about a workforce that's willing to sign a commitment form to live by a minimal set of requirements in order to serve God or sing in the choir or usher? That excites me. Did you know Fidelity Investments have more standards of separation and dress codes than the average Baptist church does? They fired some men that were brokers because they were betting on a football game. And it went against their standards. I want to see us get excited about being a Christian and a member of our church. And I want to see our members grow in grace and grow stronger in the Lord, His Word, in our relationship with each other as a church family. I've tried to help you tonight to give you some basics. How to grow in grace. How to develop a walk in the Spirit. It's not going to do you any good if you don't practice it. Now, Father, thank you for being so good to us. We sure love you. We ask your blessings now upon this moment of invitation. It won't be long. And Lord, I pray that if there's people here that need to come to an altar, and most of us need to, whether we're willing to or not is a different thing, let us use this time to kneel before you and look into our own heart. You tell us in the Word of God before we partake of the Lord's Supper, let us examine ourselves.